Hello, and welcome to the Off Kilter Quilt. My name is Frances. I'll be your hostess. Hello, and welcome to episode 155, the Mosaic Homestretch episode. That would be really, optimistic. But I have to say that I finally finished quilting all the mosaic blocks. And in the quilt diaries, you'll hear me talk about that. I mean, there's not much to talk about. So what I'm really talking about in the quilt diaries is still working on the mosaic blocks, gotten a little farther on the mosaic blocks, bet I'll get these mosaic blocks done by Sunday. Now it's Monday, not done with the mosaic blocks, that sort of thing. But I finally finished them this weekend. And now on to quilting the white blocks, the negative space. And I also talk about this in the quilting diaries, in the quilt diaries. But as you know, oftentimes I'll say things and then totally change my mind. If you've listened to me for any period of time, you know not to trust anything that I say or assert, any plans that I make for the future. If I say this is what I'm going to do, you know there's about a 70% chance I'm not going to do it. So yes, you just know, just ride the pony wherever it takes you. That's my advice when it comes to this podcast, but don't expect it to take you to the fair. I like that. Maybe that'll be my new motto. No. Anyway, yes, but in the quilt diaries, I talk about how I think I've gone back and forth, and my initial thought a while back was that I would use the white blocks to practice different kinds of machine quilting. And I've been like, yeah, I think that's what I'm going to do. And then, no, I'm not going to do that. And I think by the end of the last quilt diary, I was like, yes, that's what I'm going to do. But now I'm like, no. And it's all because of Pinterest. Because I was looking at Pinterest. And I found this great image. If there's any way for me to share it, I will. I'm not sure because the source, Badass Quilter Society, which is just a Facebook page that I liked. And although this was all, I found this on Pinterest, but when I tried to go to the source on the Facebook page, I kept getting Facebook error messages. So I don't know what that's about. In any event, it's just this really pretty quilting that I found that is, it looks like it's just on the border. It is. It's border quilting. It's lovely. And the one, and it has different parts to it, but the part that really appealed to me is a collection of hexes, quilted hexes, and they're just the fabric itself. And this picture is just a cream-colored fabric. So there are six hexes and then a central hexe. And then each hexe is outlined, and then inside just is pebbling. And what it immediately appealed to my eye, but also the flowers I did. Do they have six? Yes, are six-petaled flowers. But the petals are, of course, ovoid. Would you say that? Oval in nature? Or elongated. What's an elongated oval called? Teardrop. We'll call it a teardrop. It's nice and sentimental on a dreary but lovely, icy January day. You know we don't complain about the weather, so I would never complain about the fact that all week, and by the way, today is Wednesday, January, I don't even know what we're calling today. The 13th, the 12th, something like that. Well, it's Wednesday, it's the 4th, could it be? No. All right, hold on. It's the 14th, because the man's birthday was a week ago. So anyway, where was I going? Just that the weather has been really not fun, and somehow, I don't know how I got to the weather, but flowers in the quilt, each mosaic block square has a flower. Oh, teardrops, that's how we got the teardrops. The sky is crying outside, whatever. So this is it. I feel like this could echo the flowers, and what I'm thinking is for each block would be this hexy pattern. So not a lot of tiny little hex, but the one per block. It also has a nice, you know, I don't know if my thinking on this is right. I wish someone would direct me to a book on machine quilting that actually gets into the theory of how to choose patterns. Now, I love Shape by Shape by Angela Walters. And maybe I, you know, and maybe I've just looked at the pictures and have not read the text. Maybe she gets into this, like how to balance out quilting. So my idea is because the mosaic block, the shapes are curved, right? The flowers are curves, not at angles. That in the alternating blocks, my idea is like, we'll have, you know, that I would have quilting with angles. But I don't know why I think that's necessarily good or true. Is it? Is it? I don't know. And you could argue, I don't know. Tell me, what would you argue? Tell me, what is the theory here about how to choose quilting designs? Tell me, please, somebody tell me. Anyway, but I like this idea. If I can get a picture of it, of the quilt that I found, of the quilting that I found up on the blog, I will. You know, it's been 2 weeks since my last podcast. And the only reason is because I'm so lazy. I'm feeling so lazy right now. It's like the idea of having to take pictures of things to put on the blog is just making me, you know, it's just stagger back onto the couch going, no, I can't do it. Even though I've really been quite active, for my Fitbitter friends out there, the last couple days, I hope that you've been very, very impressed with me. Because I have really been moving and grooving. I also talk in the quilt diary, one of the quilt diaries, about how I've had tendonitis. And you'll find out why. But it's gotten a lot better because I got indoor shoes. And I talk about that too. So why repeat it all here? But so my foot's a lot better. And I'm also back to work as a writer, which, you know, that kind of always sort of stops right around, you know, a few weeks before Christmas, because why even try to have a schedule? Why even try to do anything before Christmas? I don't. Other than get ready for Christmas. Anyway, so I've been back at work and just trying, whenever I'm just sitting around, I'm getting on my treadmill. And so I've had good treadmill numbers. And yes. Yeah, so that's not lazy, and I've been cooking and not really cleaning. Not cleaning so much. Like really light bathroom cleaning, just when you can't take it anymore, right? And then you're like, somebody better clean this, and I guess it's going to be me because nobody else in this house cares. Yeah, I'm just going on and on here, and Lord knows, I can't even remember how long the quilt diaries are. I think it's all... So it's the laziness of doing... photographs, as well as knowing I'm going to have to edit some, because you know me, I kind of repeat myself, and yeah, and so that would means I actually have to listen to what I've said instead of just putting it out there for you to enjoy or mock or whatever you do with it. I hope enjoy it, but in any event. So what I want to do at this point is just say thank you to everyone who's commented. Even just in your mind, remember the rule or the non-rule, the anti-rule. You don't have to listen to comment. Just bring those comments on. You know I don't mind. Now, I'm trying to say, I've got comments on episodes 153 and 154, and I'm not quite sure what the cutoff date is, but I'm going to start with Cheryl, who commented on 153, and this was a commented submitted, looks like on Christmas Eve, very early in the morning. And this is great because she just discovered quilting podcasts this week, or the week of Christmas. What a Christmas present for you, Cheryl. Yes. Oh, and she asked about my quilting binder. I talked about that, I guess, a couple episodes ago. And she wants to know if I found a special binder. I just used a regular one. It's really pretty if you see the picture, but it's just, I think it was like on sale at Target. And, you know, I love notebooks, binders, all office supplies. So, you know, they were, you know, it was one of those things, they were no longer selling that brand or whatever. So it was on sale and I got it. So it's a big one. And I think that's important because you need to have lots of sections for all your very many quilting interests and concerns. I heard from Heather, who told her quilting story. It's a great story, and it goes back into her history, but I'll just read this part. Just after my daughter was born, my girlfriend invited a few of us over to have tea because her mom was going to teach us to quilt. I didn't drink tea, had no time or energy, 1-month-old baby, and quilting had never crossed my mind. I planned to go back to work within a year as a primary teacher and would have no time for a new hobby. So, of course, I said, yes, I'll come for tea. That was January 1995. The rest, of course, is history. Oh, we just get sucked in, don't we? And she didn't even drink tea. I just thought that was my favorite part. Don't even drink tea. But she went, and they got her, as they do. Thank you, Heather, for sharing. You know, one of my plans for this year is I'm actually going to, with the man's help, build a website as more of a collection for all my various things, where I might keep a bibliography of all the quilt history stuff I'm reading. But I would also like to put, with your permission, those of you who have given your quilt stories about how you learned to quilt, did your mother quilt, etc., I would like to have a place to collect those stories so people could go read them. And when I get closer to doing that, I will, of course, contact you and ask you for your permission. But I'm assuming that since you left you've left these wonderful stories in the comments section of a public blog, that you'll be okay with that. I hope so, but I'll ask. I got another comment from Heather who's talking about age bombing and no plastic, plastic surgery versus no plastic surgery. Again, some of the things. This was from episode 152. But what I love, she said, recently I have noticed that somehow or other my grandma's lips have taken over my face. Like, yeah, it's an interesting process we're all going through here, girls. Yes, indeed. Let me tell you. Who else I've heard from? Kristen. Yay. Hello, Kristen. Runs with Tutu. I got a lot of really nice comments about the Christmas tree quilt and about how people were very pleased that Will was a part of that, and as I was too. So thank you. Let's see. Heard from Noni. And Noni being Noni, of course, has information about Kona Cottons because I brought that up. And by the way, I can't remember if I mentioned this in the quilt diary, so I'll say it now, and it may be repeated later. When I went to Thimble Pleasures last week, and I asked them if they carried any other solids besides Kona, and they said no, because Kona just... and I said, because, Kona was kind of driving me crazy with its fraying, and they said, yes, they knew, and it was because of the weave, but when you get into, the Moda Bella solids, that they're a lot more expensive, by which... they meant a couple dollars, and the Konas are so cheap that, quite frankly, I would pay $8 a yard as opposed to $6 a yard for fabrics solids that didn't fray. And I may have to start. A number of you recommended the Moda Bella and I'm solids, and that's I may just have to get stuff online. And what Noni says is Kona cottons use a slightly larger in diameter thickness of thread than most quilters. I think there's a weird little glitch there. Anyway, and she says that she also thinks it has a looser weave, and that is what they said at Thimble Pleasures as well. It's just, and Noni says, I just think it is not as fine a finish as most quilters' cottons. Yeah, me too. I heard from Terry, heard from Margaret Kay. And Margaret is, she said she couldn't remember if I was an Ann Patchett fan. And yes, I am very much. And she is reading, this is the story of A Happy Marriage, which I love. That is a collection of essays. If you haven't read that, I would recommend it. Heard from JC. Heard from Adventure Mom Blog. Ah, found the name. Denise. Heard from Denise at Adventure Mom Blog. And she's a newcomer. She happened upon my podcast about a week ago. And since listen to this wisdom. And since I now know you love comments, I thought it wouldn't be fair to keep listening without letting you know I'm tuned in. See, that's how it works, guys. All you gotta do is just come by and say you want a comment. Here's a comment. I'm listening. See, it's that easy. Thank you, Denise. And Denise has an interesting quilt story. It's on the comments, but she is a lawyer who quilts. And she says, people who know me as a lawyer look at me very strangely when I mention quilting, or they see all the pieces strewn all over my dining room. Don't you have better things to do? They ask. They are saying in their heads. And Denise's response, also silent, I presume, is, no, I don't. Ah, and here's one. Here's a question for you that Denise poses. She says, you often ask rhetorical questions, and I have one too. Do people hide their fabric from their husbands? Admittedly, I do. He is not against quilting, but I don't think he is on a need-to-know basis regarding how much money I actually spend on fabric. I am in such agreement with this, Denise, and here's the thing. It's like oftentimes the muggles, including our husbands, they don't know how much fabric costs, and they don't know how much we actually use. So I don't hide fabric. I just keep certain facts about my fabric hidden. Yes, so food for thought, but I'll be interested. Does anyone else kind of keep it on the down low, either their fabric or financial information about their fabric? Just wondering. Heard from Cindy, who actually sent me an email, which was lovely. And Chris Kaufman, I owe you an email. I know I do. And I will send you one soon. Heard from Kitty. And this was interesting. She says, I had always used gloves for free motion quilting. Recently, I started using two squares of shelf fabric. That rubberized stuff. Don't know what it's really called. I don't know what it's called either, but I know exactly what you mean. And she says, Ann Peterson of Craftsy fame recommends using it. It's great. You don't have to take off your gloves to pull up your bobbin thread, etc. I should say, I am still using the regular gloves, but on one of the free motion quilting Craftsy classes I'm taking, the instructor, she's using gloves, but she cuts out like the tops of like the index and middle finger. So, and you know, so it's really kind of funky looking, but I think for the same reason, it gives her the ability to do things without having to take off her gloves. And I do find it's like, yeah, I mean, especially free motion quilting the mosaic blocks, you know, and the bobbin goes out, and the bobbin goes out, and the bobbin goes out, and every time, you know, and with the Bernina, it's quite a little production. And now that I've got the super slider down there too, I mean, you know, it's just like the taking off the gloves, taking the quilt off, taking the super slider off, you know, and then finding the gloves, then trying to figure out where the gloves went, usually on the floor. So, see, heard from Jay, and Jay asked, what is going on with Kelly the Fifth's blog site? Do you know? And then Kelly the Fifth commented later and said she'd just been taking a break from blogging, and actually sent a message to Jay, which was, hey Jay, I was thinking of you last week as we were in Northern California from Christmas to New Year, staying at the Russian River. Brr, beautiful. When we looked across the bay towards the GG on 580, I have no idea what she's talking about, but I'm assuming Jay does. I thought, hey, we are in Jay's neck of the woods. So, yes. So Jay, message to you from Kelly the Fifth. She's fine. Heard from Quilt and Jenny, who said a contractor showing up on time. If you listened to my last episode, you know that happened to us when I got my stove. It is a Christmas miracle. It really is. And Quilt and Jenny passed on a little folklore, which I had not heard, which is, please give the man a nickel for the knife. My darling mother is superstitious about it being bad luck to give a knife as a gift, so you must pay for it. Interesting. And then Allison from Within a Quarter Inch commented, and she said, Jenny is right. Go give the man a nickel right now. You know, I haven't, and I did cut my finger just slightly. It's so easy to do with these knives. They're crazy. Oh, and Allison wanted to know. By the way, I love her tag, which is the Allison Rosen. It's not just any Allison Rosen. She is the Allison Rosen. And I fully concur. She is. She wanted to know if I've been to Target this year, 2015. Amazingly, I have not. I have not, but I actually have a Target run in mind. But who knows? Maybe I'll put it off to February. Heard from a good friend, Debbie Kidd. Debbie is off to QuiltCon next month. And Debbie, we want to report. I really want to go to QuiltCon one of these days. I really do. As a quilter and an amateur folklorist. Just very interesting. I want to go. I do. So, and Debbie and I have talked before about Kona, the fraying. A lot of us are just getting a little bit frustrated with the Kona fraying. And AJ Dub commented that she has used Bella solids as well as Kona, and she didn't think that the Bella frayed much. She also wanted to know what kind of knife was it that Julia Child was getting this Christmas. It's a Wusthof, I think, or Wusthof. It's German. I'll try to write it down in the show notes. Did hear from Kelly the Fifth. So happy to hear from Kelly the Fifth. Always happy. And got another new comment from Bonnie, who has been lurking and listening forever, but never got around to commenting until now. And she just wanted to agree wholeheartedly about the value of handiwork in front of the television when you are sick. And that's what, you know, a lot of people, by the way, are talking about doing the Jenny Beyer Craftsy Block of a Month, which is a free class. You can order the kit of fabric, but and some people are talking about doing it as handwork. So, yes. In any event, Bonnie says, I found a picture of a pinwheel quilt in a book called Quilts of the Oregon Trail. I don't know how to... You've schooled me in this before, people. Let's do it again. How do you say Oregon? Oregon. Oregon Trail. A year ago, I decided that if the woman who made it could achieve that while walking across the country in 1849, then surely I could do it in bits during my breaks at work. I have made a lot more progress since being off work due to foot surgery in mid-November. I hope your foot is healing up, in fact, fully healed, Bonnie. I can't do much except sit with my feet up and watch endless Netflix while stitching away. I have made nearly 300 4-inch pinwheel squares, and now I'm working on assembling them into 9 patch blocks. 25 down, 20 more to go. Then I assemble sashing and setting triangles. I'll run out of Netflix and sick leave before I run out of quilt. Yes, you will. Send a picture when you're done. I'd love to see it. And thank you for commenting. Heard from Heather on episode 154. This is a different Heather, I think, than the earlier Heather. And she says that she has taken to using Moda Bella solids and shares my frustration and others' frustrations with Kona. Her experience that Kona fabrics often seem to be off grain. The grain goes at a slight angle from the selvage. So a straight cut from selvage to selvage produces a lot of fraying. A few times I have done a tear from selvage to square it up, but that can result in a bunch of waste. Frustrating. Moda Bella seems better to me, so I'm going with that for now. You and me both. Got comment from Gretchen, and she says that she likes both the Bella solids by Moda and Cotton Couture solids by Michael Miller better than Kona because of the fraying. And she says the other fabric that she thinks frays too much is Stonehenge. So there you have it. Lots of comments. Thank you. Fabulous. So good to hear from everybody. And please, let me hear from you again. theoffkilterquilt.wordpress.com, or you can email me, fdowell, that's F as in Francis, Dowell as in do well, fdowell@nc.rr.com. I will email you back. Sometimes it takes me a little bit, but I try to do it sooner rather than later. Anyway, I guess it's time to get on with the Quilt Diaries. Quilt Diary Day 1. It's Tuesday, December 30th, 2014. New Year's Eve tomorrow. We'll do what we always do, which is sit around and have a bottle of champagne and then fall asleep. Jack is going to a friend's house who's having a New Year's party. Both parents there. Mom, who we know. We know the kid. We know the parents. We go to church with them. It's all good. But she was great. She sent out an email. She's like, here's my cell. Here's my husband's cell. Here's who's going to be there. Here's what's going on. So that's what you like in a New Year's Eve party host parent. I like that. She's very cool. Her name is Julie, and we started going to this new church at the end of the summer, and it turns out that Julie and her family go there. And so now whenever she sees me, she gives me and the man, she gives both of us hugs. We weren't huggy before, but now we are, which is very nice. I like hugs. Anyway, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. We had a nice Christmas. My folks were here, and we had a good visit, and I think that made Christmas extra special for the boys. They really like their grandparents, and we also went the weekend, no, more than a weekend, the 19th or 20th, we went and saw my mother-in-law in Charlotte, so that was nice too. So we've had a good time. Everyone is sleeping in late. In fact, I believe it's almost 1, and I've been trying to wake Jack up since 10:30. He sets an alarm for 10:15, and I usually have to go up and tell him to turn off the alarm. And then whenever I go upstairs for something or another, I knock on his door and say, it's 11, it's 11:30, it's 12:15, it's 1. But that's all I can do, because it's really up to him. I don't care if he sleeps till 2. And in fact, I think he probably needs the rest. But I have no idea how late he's staying up either, I should say, because I go to bed at 11. I'm these days the first person to go to bed other than Travis, who is sitting here on my lap. I had a good quilty Christmas. I got the EQ7, which I'm in the process of doing the tutorials for, learning how to do it. You know, I'm the sort of person, it's like we have Photoshop and we have Adobe, all that, right? Maybe it is Adobe Photoshop. I don't know. We have these programs. And every once in a while I think, oh, I want to do something. And I have no idea how these programs work. And so I just get so frustrated. So I've got the EQ7 doing the tutorials. I'm printing out the lessons. I'm learning how to do this. And it's fun. And you know what's neat? So yesterday I had a Pinterest day and I saw some quilts I really liked. And I thought, you know, and I put them in my quilts I might make file. And I thought, you know, with EQ7, I could probably figure out the pattern. I could figure out how to do it. And then I can get sued by someone when I make the quilt and post it on my blog. So there, that's a lot to look forward to in 2015. I got the Why Quilts Matter DVD, which is a PBS series, as you'll recall. Now, I had heard from a couple people, I think Noni was one of them. You know, it got mixed reviews, and I couldn't remember why. And I do think it was Noni who said, you know, people had a hard time with the narrator's voice. And the narrator is Shelley, I believe the last name is Zegart or Zegert. I might be getting that wrong, but I'm too lazy to go check. And she is a very well-known quilt historian and is, you know, the curator for many, many important quilt shows. And, you know, one of the people, you know, I can't remember if she was, you know, helped make the Quilt Alliance or the quilt study group, or she's involved with all of that. And she looks to be like she's probably in her 60s. And I will tell you, she does not have a pleasing voice. She has kind of an unpleasing voice. I hate to say it, but it's true. She does not have a radio voice at all, nor a PBS voice. And so I totally get when people say, yeah, you know, she's, it, I mean, it's that significant. You know, that you're going, yeah, she's not really pleasant to listen to. But she's got really interesting jewelry choices. I mean, some good and some like, but you like her for just going out there with the jewelry. She's on, out on a jewelry limb, many episodes. I have only watched, I watched the first and started watching the second, fell asleep, not Shelley's fault, just tired. You know, I think it was, I started watching the 26th of December. Also may have gotten, I don't know. I think there was some peer pressure. We got the boys, the first three seasons of Monty Python's Flying Circus, and may have been some peer pressure to stop watching. But I did fall asleep at some point. But, you know, it was about the second episode is basically about the quilting business, about quilt, you know, to market, right? And so it's odd, you know, that would be, and I also, I think in the reviews, I feel like I've read that or heard that there is this focus on the business side of quilting, which is not why I want to watch a 7 or 9 episode series on Why Quilts Matter. So we'll see though. I plan to watch all of it. I will tell you what I think. I'm hoping it will be worthwhile to invest the time in that. So I got that. I got the new, is it Rodney Karakoff? It's Quilts Under the Radar, like quilts from 1950 to maybe 2000. I don't know. And I've just started reading it. But, you know, the reason, yeah, I'd seen the book, seen it recommended, not looked at it, but I have his book on American quilts from whatever to 1950. Sort of the first book he did, and it's a wonderful and really good resource. So I just like, well, yes, of course I want this book. It not really taking into account the subtitle that includes the phrase under the radar. And he's really talking about these quilts that are pretty homegrown quilts. These are, and so essentially a starting point would be the G's Bend quilts. So quilts that are really made out of what's at hand, made often are very innovative quilts, intuitively pieced quilts. Some of them are marvelous, and some, again, haven't finished the book. I've just started reading it. But, you know, there was a quilt. I mean, I know that some people really just don't like the G's Bend quilts, and they're G's Bend quilts that I don't like either. I don't think they're attractive. I don't like the colors. I don't find the piecing or the geometry of the quilt aesthetically pleasing. But there's some that I just think totally kick quilt butt, quite frankly. There are quilts featured, pictures of quilts featured that are referred to masterpieces. And I'm looking at them and going, I don't see it. I think it's obviously possible to make a stunning quilt out of what you have at hand, not using a pattern, piecing improvisationally. I am open to all of that, and I have seen quilts, and there are quilts in this book that fit that description, quilts that are just stunning. But there's some where I feel like it's almost an Emperor's New Clothes thing, where I am looking and going, how could this be a masterpiece? This is not pleasing. This is not beautiful. This, I don't get this quilt. So I don't know if, you know, at another time down the road, I'll look at it and go, oh yeah, this is an amazing quilt. But that's always, you know, I don't want to say off-putting. It puts you off balance a little bit when someone's saying, oh yes, this is a masterpiece. And you're going, really? So I got that book. I got Barbara Brackman's, I think it's Material Obsession, which is about fabric and quilts from 1880 to, and I don't know if that 1880 is right, but I think it is. Maybe to 1950? Could be later. I'm sorry, I should be, if I were a good podcaster, I would have these books right in front of me, but I actually am in the man's study. I was in the other room where all those books would be available to me, and Will was gaming in here and started having some kind of fit. And I was just like, you know, I'm sorry. If the game you're playing is upsetting you as much as this apparently was upsetting him, where I could hear him yelling at the game two rooms over, it's just like, time to get off the computer. They got a PS4 for Christmas. And the whole idea is to make the man study kind of a man cave. And that's, you know, and for the boys to play some stuff together, which would be nice because they don't do a lot together. You know, and it's the idea is like whatever keeps everyone kind of downstairs and in community, you know, that's a good thing. And I think that it is. But really, I'm getting a little tired. You know, Jack is a lost cause. It's a lost cause. Although Jack is now, he's on the swim team. He's socializing. He gets amazing grades, you know, so it's kind of, and the fact is both boys, they do game, but then they're also on the computer to read, and I just don't know how to deal with that, you know, because half the time I walk in, and Will's on his computer, on the laptop, in the study, in the man's study, in the man cave, and he's just reading stuff. A lot of times, you know, it's sports stuff, but that's his thing. You know, and I still want to say, get a book. Anyway, that's a whole other non-quilty thing. So, got some books, got the EQ7. I am in the process of quilting the mosaic quilt, still working on the mosaic blocks. Still am not sure what I'm going to do in the negative space and the white blocks. All right, now I actually am. I'll just walk. We're walking and talking, because I do want to tell you, I got my mom very nicely, gave me two craftsy classes for Christmas. Well, one was a hostess gift, and one was a Christmas present. And I'm going to walk over here and tell you what they are. Okay, One is Color Play for Quilters by, I don't know how to say this, Joan? Let's say Joan. J-O-E-N. It's got to be Joan. It's got to be how Joan decided, Joan, who used to be a J-O-A-N in ninth grade, decided to be J-O-E-N. I could be wrong. You could tell me. Anyway, on to the last name, Wolfram. Color Play for Quilters, which I haven't started yet. And then The Secrets of Free Motion Quilting with Christina Camel. No, Camelli. Sorry about that. Yeah, it looks like camel until you really look at it. Camelli. And I just started that yesterday, and I think Noni had recommended it. And I can't remember if Noni said this or someone else in a comment said that, you know, one of the great things about this class is it just starts with the quilting, right? It just gets going. There's no, here's how you baste a quilt, here's how you do this, here's how you do that. You know, there's an assumption you know how to baste your quilt. You kind of have done some free motion quilting, and you're just going to get down to it, which I really appreciate. And I really like this teacher a lot. She's very appealing. She has a really natural, friendly style. You know, the interesting thing to me is, and I know I've said this before, I'm pretty sure I have, that I just find it very relaxing to watch people free motion quilt on TV. I just think it's really cool. And also, but I think as a result of spending a good amount of time watching Christina do some really awesome free motion quilting yesterday, I sat down to continue work on the mosaic quilt. And have you ever had a thing like you're in the kitchen and you're cooking and you kind of pretend you're doing a cooking show, you know, and you practice, you try to cut the onion particularly beautifully because, of course, you have a camera on you watching you cut the onion. Yeah, I know. But as I was free motion quilting the mosaic quilt, I kind of was pretending like I was Christina. And look as I make this flower. Although I have to say, these flowers I'm doing on the mosaic blocks, they're like snowflakes. No two are alike. And you know, it's a very much what I'm finding with free motion quilting. I think this is true even when you start. But it stays true, even as you get into more complexity. It's like a constant learning process, right? It's like you're teaching yourself as you're going. You do a row of flowers. You know, I'm doing a little of this flower in each little block. And you realize, okay, I need to end up here. For this row, this is where I need to end up so I can segue to the next row in the most simple way. And you learn too, is like it's good as you're to check as you're starting each little square to know where you need to end up. And you understand, and these are, of course, are half square triangles. And it starts out, I make a little circle, which is the, you know, the center of the flower, which has a name, and I couldn't tell you what it is. I'm like, it's not a stamen. Is it a piston? No, pistons on a car. Whatever. So I have to do a little circle, and it's been interesting to figure out where exactly does that circle need to happen so that each petal goes out equidistant length, right? Because if you get too high, then half of the flower, the really short, squat petals, and the other half, you know, and these are like very mundane things. To talk about, but when you're involved in the process, they're the most important issues in the world, right? You're trying to figure this out, and each time it's like a little experiment, and what I tell myself is, I'm making this quilt for me. I'm not hanging it in a show. Everyone who sees it will think it's absolutely awesome, because that's how muggles think about quilts. It's only, I can't let actual quilt makers look at it, but otherwise everyone else will love it. And I have to tell you, I'm sure I said this last time, but the back looks really cool. So, you know, it's whole cloth, right? It's not a pieced back. It's a big piece of lilac. I think I called it violet, but it's really a lilac. And it looks really cool. And I'm using a matching thread for the bobbin, And so it's just really neat looking. I love it. So, but I'm having fun doing that and being involved in that process, and really need to start thinking about what I'm going to do for the negative space. But that'll be fun to figure out. It's all an adventure. I just took a shower. You'll be happy to know. I am broadcasting this to you cleanly. And as one does, I had an interesting idea in the shower. I was thinking about my friend Cheryl, who lives on the next street over. I've talked about her a time or two. Her husband died 2.5 years ago. A little less than 2.5 years. But he died August 2012. And he was diagnosed with a brain tumor and died, really, I think within 5 months. So it was just horrible. He was 51 years old. And they met in, I'm going to say they met in college, but I don't think that's true. I think they must have met after, right after college. But were married in their 20s and have twins, a lovely daughter and son. I was about to say lovely son and daughter, and that works too. They're great kids. Anyway, I saw Cheryl, I don't know, a week or two before Christmas. And we were talking about, this is going to be her 2012, her third Christmas without Adam, her husband. And I said, well, how's it going to be for you? What do you anticipate? And she said, the thing about when you lose a spouse, you lose that person who gives you special gifts. If you are fortunate enough to have a spouse who gives you special gifts, or really gives you gifts at all, because, it's like the boys give me Christmas presents and birthday presents that the man takes them to my favorite store, which is called Zola's in downtown Durham, and gives them the money to buy the gifts. And I had not thought of that, how gift dependent I am on the man. And he really, that's who I get presents from. And she said, that's kind of her father passed away. Her father passed away. The emphasis was wrong on the way I was saying that sentence. Her father passed away this summer. So, but she said, her mother doesn't give good gifts. Her mother gives her what she thinks Cheryl should want. I think it's one of those things. Her kids, it's like fine, but it's going to be like, kid gifts. Like here's a novel, here's a movie pass. And she said her in-laws, who were coming down for Christmas, are terrible gift givers. She already knew they were giving her son, her 18-year-old son, a Subway gift card. An 18-year-old likes Subway, and they like food, but that's a pretty lame Christmas present. And so she wasn't, she might get an Applebee's Christmas gift card. So anyway, the whole point is, that's one thing, that's probably ranks among the least of things that she has lost as a result of Adam's dying. But it's something, it's just one of those things you don't really think about. Like, who gives you presents? And who gives you the good stuff? And who surprises you with stuff you didn't ask for, but they saw it and they knew you would love it. And I felt sad about that, because it is sad. And now here's how you'll know that I am not swift. I am not always bright. I have my moments. But because I was like, I should give Cheryl a pair of earrings next year. And I thought that would be weird, We've given each other little things for little. She read a book of mine that had a fox in it, and she gave me a fox salt and pepper shakers, for instance. And for my birthday, because she came to my birthday party, she gave me a zombie family bumper sticker. So, she's given me some, and I've given her candy and wine. Sorry, I got interrupted. But I think the point of what I'm saying is it would be really weird for me to buy Cheryl a piece of jewelry or, try to do a husband gift. And so I went on my way just feeling sad. And it wasn't until my shower this morning where I was going, I can make her a quilt. And I know some of you, perhaps 99% of you, were thinking make her a quilt as soon as I mentioned her not getting good presents anymore. You're thinking, oh, of course, you'll make her a quilt. Took me 3 weeks to go, ah, I can make her a quilt. And my first thought was, well, you know, one of the quilts I'm planning to make this year is a Dresden plate, and maybe I can make that for Cheryl, which is a possibility. It's going to be a big quilt, a big deal, and I feel kind of selfish just making it for me. But I thought, you know, maybe if there's, I need to look and see if I can find a modern Dresden. Just because Cheryl's house is a modern house. But the neighborhood I live in here in Durham is called Duke Forest. And the land was owned by Duke University and subdivided in the early 60s for faculty members. And the plots, the lots, you know, they run anywhere from like a half acre to ours is like 0.8. For the most part, there are actually some, there's one street in which the lots are really big and the houses are really big. And one of the things I like about the neighborhood is there's a wide variety of styles. There's certain sections, certain streets where the houses are very small. You know, there are sort of ranch houses, you know, nothing to write home about. And then there are, we live in a very traditional house, but the neighborhood is known for its modern houses. And you know, think Frank Lloyd Wright, you know, like his descendants, his acolytes. I don't know anything about these houses. Cheryl does, and she does live in one of these very modern ones. But they're clearly, you know, lots of glass, lots of funky levels. They're neat, but yeah, and there are a number of them. Not all of them, but there are a number of them. And every year there's a big tour that costs, I think, $40. And 10 or so houses are opened up and people walk around. You always know when it's tour time because you come home from church and they're just these people seemingly wandering aimlessly through the streets. You're like, oh, must be tour time. I've never done it. One, because that's not what I want to spend $40 on. And two, I could just go knock on people's doors and say, I'm your neighbor. Could I see your house? Anyway, Cheryl knows about these houses. She lives in one of these houses, and her style is definitely modern. So I'm thinking she would appreciate, I think, a more modern quilt than a traditional quilt. I'm sure she would appreciate any quilt. You know the Muggles. That's how they are. But I think a modern quilt would really speak to her sensibility. So yeah, so now I'm on a quest that just started about 45 minutes ago when I took my shower to find a really great pattern. One of the things I thought I might do is I know that there's, and it may be that those lovely Lintott girls did a modern sampler book. Does that ring a bell? I mean, I feel like someone like maybe Sandy over at Quilting for the Rest of Us mentioned this. Someone did. But if you've read it and like it, let me know. Because that is, I think, someplace, a book I will begin my investigation there and see what I can find. So I have been interrupted about 5 times while doing this, and I'm now up in my bedroom. I can't just quilt. I can't just podcast out in the open. I'm happy to tell people I'm working on my podcast. You need to go to the other side of the house. But I can't have them in the room. And Jack did finally get up and kept going back and forth to the kitchen. I don't know why. I mean, just like, get a big plate, son. Stop the grazing. All right, it's 1:18. I've got to go to the store. We're eating light this week. We're in that phase where it's like, I hate food. I don't want to eat any more food. I think we're going to have potato soup tonight and salad. I think that sounds nice. I like the sound of that. Yeah. Anyway. Yeah, I think that's all I have to tell you right now. I'll have more later. But, I'll say Happy New Year at the beginning, won't I? But I'll say Happy New Year now. Why not? Who's stopping me? No one. All right. Happy New Year. See you in a little bit. Quilt Diary Day 2. It is Monday, January 5th. Everybody's back at school or back at work, including me, although me going to work means me going to either my couch or my treadmill desk. I have managed to hurt my foot, and you know how I did it? Treadmilling in my Birkenstocks. I know, very stupid. I shouldn't have done it, and I shouldn't have kept doing it when I realized my foot was sort of hurting. And you know what's funny? Is I went online yesterday and looked up Birkenstocks tendonitis, and a lot of people get tendonitis wearing Birkenstocks, not necessarily on their treadmill, but walking around. Not everybody. Obviously, a lot of people love Birkenstocks, and they're incredibly comfortable, but you know, I guess Birkenstocks put your heel a little bit lower than the ball of your foot, and that can be problematic for some of us. Anyway, so I'm taking a little bit easy on the treadmill until the tendonitis goes away. And that may be it for me in Birkenstocks. And I have mixed feelings about that because they're so incredibly comfortable. But they are also really ugly shoes. I hate to say it. And I've been wearing them. Friends of mine wear them. But they're really ugly. Anyway, so today was back to school, back to work. You know, it wasn't as hard as, you know, you see people, like I saw people last week, and like, oh man, Monday's going to be so hard because we all were sleeping in and being absolutely lazy, especially last week. So post-Christmas, but pre-anything else. And so you just think Monday's going to be hard. Well, today wasn't hard because the first days back aren't the hard days because you're kind of like, you're primed for them. It's like, okay, I got to get up. I got to get going. And the boys got up and we're fine. We were all fine. You know, tomorrow's going to be the real hard day. Tomorrow's the day we're going to be like, oh man. But it's okay. It's good to be back in the routine. And I have been working today and doing various things. I actually, during my lunch break, my quote unquote lunch break, I worked on the mosaic quilt. I am still doing the mosaic blocks. I'm almost done. And, you know, I don't know how many blocks I've got on that. I kind of feel it's got to be, I don't know. I say it's got to be in some of that. I think, let's say around 50, 60 blocks, maybe more. And each block has 16, each mosaic block has 16 little squares in it. So, you know, at this point, let's say I've probably done close to 300 squares, and I'm actually getting good at doing this little quilting design that I came up with, or did not come up with, I got from the most recent AQS magazine, most recent American quilter. I didn't make it up, but I practiced it. I started it, and yes, it's taken about 300 tries to go, oh, okay. And every time I kind of know what I'm doing, and doesn't mean every single little flower is perfect, but it's a lot better than the ones I was starting out with. And I just keep reminding myself of what Annie Smith said, which is, you know, this quilt is, I'm practicing for my next quilt. And that's especially, you know, there's just, I can't imagine doing 300 of these little flower squares for practice, right? I'm just, you know, doing it, making a muslin quilt sandwich and then practicing. So you just practice by doing. So I'm getting better. I still don't know what to do with the negative space. But I did realize that I have Angela Walter's Quilting Negative Space Craftsy class. Yay me for getting that. I mean, sometime early 2014, I got it. I think in the spring. And I remember now doing some of the patterns she was doing, some of the designs and practicing them, which she recommends. But anyway, it's a useful class to have when you are pondering negative space to quilt. The difference that... I need to watch more. I'll probably watch some more tonight. I've been trying to get on the treadmill a little bit after dinner to get my steps up, wearing my tennis shoes. So I might watch more Angela tonight. The only thing is, so the quilting that she does, I've not seen her quilt, a traditional quilt. Have you? I'm just trying. I think I've got a couple books of hers and, you know, at least one class, maybe two. But yeah, but it's always modern, and which is fine because I really like modern quilting styles and modern free motion styles. But I can't think of something as simple and as enclosed as a 10-inch white block in the quilting that she does. And, you know, I just really want to figure out before I start quilting, I really want to have a pretty firm idea. You know, and I may, you know, people suggest like quilting on plastic wrap and, you know, not quilting on it, but, you know, drawing on plastic wrap and putting it over your block. And maybe I'll do that just to have some ideas because, you know, I don't mind unquilting. I find unquilting a little bit relaxing, but I don't want to do, you know, doing five white blocks and deciding that's the wrong design. That's a lot of unquilting. I mean, that's hours and hours. And, you know, sooner or later, I am hoping to finish this quilt. I have not done my basket block for the sampler quilt, and I'd like to do that. But I'm having, you know, I love the machine quilting, so I'm having fun. I am rewatching. I rewatched season 4 of Downton Abbey, so I would be fresh with watching the first episode of season 5, which did you watch it? I think it has. It was on last night, on Sunday night, and I think it has potential. It has a lot of soapy potential. I really, I just had a message on the machine from my mom. I think I must have been in the shower when she called. And she said she gave up after season 3. And season 3, yeah, I mean, with everybody dying. And season 4, just nothing happened. It was just sort of Mary collecting suitors. And you know, by the end of it, saying, oh, I might marry again. You know, at least now I think that I have a life to live, whereas before I didn't. And, you know, so, but still, it was like not a lot of drama. And I think that whole thing with Edith's man, whatever his name is, Michael, disappearing is very, very weird. So anyway, I didn't find season 4 particularly satisfying, but last night I thought, this is good. We're getting really soapy again, which is what needs to happen. This is a soap opera with really great clothes, and I'm fine with that. But, you know, enough people dying and enough people, that's like with what happened to Anna last season and stuff. That is, you know, it was horrible and horrifying, and, you know, it just felt too heavy for this kind of show. So we'll see. But, yeah, but that's what I've been doing. I've been quilting and watching. Now I'm watching season 3. Sort of, I started kind of mid-season. I don't know why. It's because I only half care. So it's kind of nice to have the pretty voices going on in the background while I'm quilting. And half the time I'm not even really listening. I just like having sound. I like sound. So that's where I am with that. A bunch of twilters are talking about doing a quilt along. Jenny Beyer is doing a free block of the month club on Craftsy, and I think it's a basket quilt. And somebody on Twitter, I haven't really been a part of the discussion, but there's been a lot of discussion because every time I go on Twitter now, I have like 30 notifications just because people are including me in the group who's discussing this, which is fine. I'm happy to be included. But someone said they might do it as a hand sewing project, which I like the idea of. I would like to do a little more hand sewing. I haven't done any work on my whatchamacallit quilt. I want to go yo-yo. The words going through my head are jelly roll and popcorn. No, yo-yo. I haven't worked on my yo-yo quilt since the last time I talked about it. So, you know, since early December, I would think. But I really just, I enjoy doing that. And so I could see that. I don't know that I will buy Jenny Beyer's fabric kit. Yeah, she's a genius and an amazing quilt maker, but she tends to work in colors that are really much darker than what I prefer. So I don't know. Anyway, if you're interested, Craftsy, free Jenny Beyer, block of the month class. So it's really neat that she's doing that, or that they're doing that, whoever's doing it. It's neat. So where am I? I have rewatched the first two episodes of Why Quilts Matter, and I've actually made a couple efforts at talking about it and have deleted those efforts just because I kind of went on and on. And if you've not seen Why Quilts Matter, which is a PBS series on quilt making and quilts, then I don't know that you need to hear me ramble on about it for 20 minutes. Why just the first two episodes are kind of making me crazy. And I think what it comes down to is I don't think they've done a good job of explaining why quilts matter. You know, why do quilts matter? What would you say? I mean, there are, I think, any number of reasons, and some of them will be quite personal to the person answering the question. And I think there are broader reasons. But the first episode, they talk about, you know, what is a quilt? And, you know, I really wish they talked about what is a quilt and talked to quilt makers and talked to quilt historians about what is a quilt. You know, but instead, and this guy was very interesting. Like, so they talked to an artist who makes quote-unquote quilts out of, let's see, he's made them out of cigarette packs and made quilts out of crushed aluminum cans. And the work is beautiful. But is it really a quilt? I mean, isn't the basic definition of quilt is a three-layered blanket, right? And these aren't quilts. They are, I guess, I would call them sculptures, although, you know, they lay flat. And again, gorgeous, really beautiful work. I have nothing against the work, but I'm just saying in the introductory episode of a series on quilt making, to spend that much time. And also, you know, a lot of the people interviewed for this first episode are antiques collectors. And in fact, there's this whole, like, now we're going to talk about what makes a quilt good. What is a good quilt? And that's never answered. You know, essentially, what these antiques collectors say, you get an idea, you get a feel for it after you've looked at lots and lots of quilts. So basically, they're saying after you've bought and sold enough quilts, you'll understand what a good quilt is. And that's not helpful. It's also not, most quilts aren't bought and sold, right? So here's this opportunity, and that's my problem with the series so far, is I feel like there are all these missed opportunities. Here's an opportunity to talk about aesthetics, to talk about fabric, to talk about pattern, to talk about color, to talk about construction, all these things about what makes a quilt good and the different opinions that people bring to that matter. Because there's some people who really dislike the G's Bend quilts, for instance, because they don't like the abstract quality and they also don't like the workmanship of the quilts. Where other people come to those quilts and are just blown away by them, you know, and I'm on record as really loving the G's Bend quilts, except for the ones that I don't like much, but that would be an interesting discussion. But just to say, you just have to, the more quilts you look at, the better sense you get, doesn't tell me anything, and it certainly doesn't tell me anything about why quilts matter. The second episode talks about quilts and history, and, you know, the hostess, the narrator, I don't know what you would call Shelley Ziegert. She is a very important person when it comes to quilt making and quilt history and quilt, you know, just really advancing the cause of quilts and quilt makers. And really, yeah, anyway, an important, clearly intelligent, interesting person. And yet, not convinced of the best person to narrate this series. I think I talked in the last Quilt Diary about the quality of her voice, which is not pleasing. But maybe would be the best person if she weren't, I don't know that she wrote the script, right? But maybe if she had actually written the script, it would be better. But she makes, first of all, the second on quilt history, her tone, the entire episode is unvaried, and it's just this kind of cheerleader's enthusiasm for quilts, you know, and she's saying stuff like, you can read more in a quilt than you can opening a history textbook, and you're just kind of looking at her like, that's just idiotic. Why are you saying untrue things? You know, there's a lot of history you can find in a quilt, but you actually have to know something about history. You have to have opened a textbook to be able to read the history of a quilt. And you also need to know something about a quilt. So it's not like you or I, people who are interested in quilts, maybe know something about quilt history, not scholars, but maybe have read some articles. But if we walked into a room and there was one quilt hanging on the wall, how much could we tell about it? We might, by looking at the fabrics, be able to say, well, that seems like a 1930s quilt. That seems like a quilt from the late 1800s or a quilt from the early 1980s. Maybe we could do that. And if it were traditional quilt, we might be able to tell you what the block was. But we might not be able to do that because there's so many different blocks. So the idea, and how about someone who has likes quilts but actually has no quilt making or quilt history background? They'll walk in and look at a quilt hanging on a wall and have nothing to say about it and will be able to read nothing into it. Because you have to know some things. And most of these things are things you learn in history textbooks. So just that kind of statement that's just so silly and, again, doesn't tell why quilts matter. And it's true. I mean, it's untrue. It's patently untrue, right? That you can learn more from a quilt than from opening a history textbook. Just stupid. And then you have things that I just don't... I think her name is Carol Malzumi. She's a quilt historian. She has written a lot on African-American quilts. She is African-American, and she makes the statement, African-American quilts are narrative in nature. And just like, what are you talking about? Now, some African-American quilts are narrative in nature, and you know, one of the most famous quilts made by an African-American is Harriet Power's Bible quilt, which is narrative in nature. But lots of quilts made by African-Americans are not narrative in nature. And in fact, I noticed looking at the table of contents for this series that there is an entire episode on the G's Bend quilts, which are not narrative in nature at all. So that sort of statement, I'm just staring at her on the screen, go, what are you talking about? You know better than that. Why are you saying this? Why are we generalizing to such an extent that things flatten out into falsehoods? I do not know. And then you have the lovely Ricky Timms, who I really, really like and think is very neat and a very talented quilt maker and personality, you know, talking about the things that we can learn about people who make quilts. So basically you can look at a quilt or you can look at all the quilts a woman has made in her life. And that's the history of this person's life right here in her quilts. And I'm thinking, no, yeah, it's really not. So you could take your grandmother, 10 quilts your grandmother made, or say your grandmother was a quilter or your great grandmother, and she made 20 quilts over the course of her lifetime. And you can have them in front of you in a room. And you know what? It's really not your great-grandmother's biography. You can learn some things about her, that she was a creative person. If she had beautiful stitches, that she's a good seamstress. You can tell what color she likes, maybe. There's some generalizations you could draw, but really, it's not a biography. And in fact, I think quilt historians would love it if that were true. But there's a reason why people are saying, put labels on your quilts so we can know something about you. Because you can't know just from looking at a quilt. So those kind of statements, I think, are useless. You can learn all about a person from just looking at her quilts. That's her history. That's your family's history. That's your grandmother's life right there in that quilt. I'm like, boy, I hope not. I hope it was more than that. So it's that kind of thing. It's very, sort of sentimental and cheerleading. And there's so much to say about quilts. And there's so much to say about why quilts matter. And so far, this show is not doing the job. And then the next episode is on the quilt market, which I don't know if that means it's all about Houston or if it's just about the commercial aspects of quilts and quilt making. I don't know. But I've already heard about as much from antique dealers as I need to hear. I have nothing against antique dealers. I think that would be a very fun thing to do. But the idea that we're going to learn about quilts and why quilts matter from people who deal in quilts and make money buying and selling quilts, I don't know. It's like, where are the quilt makers in this show? That's what I wonder. And one of the things that... at the end of episode 2, Shelley Ziegert is going on about, now today's quilt makers are provocateurs, they're political, they're this and that. And, you know, there certainly are quilt makers who make statements with their quilts, the more power to them. But in fact, I would say the majority of today's quilt makers make traditional quilts or modern quilts. No mention, by the way, in the episode on quilt history about modern quilting, the modern quilt movement. And this was a series that came out, I don't know what, 2008, 2009? So the modern quilt movement was afoot. But in fact, most of us don't make quilts that are political or provocative. We make quilts that are pretty. So again, just these generalities that don't really tell us anything about quilt making. I will watch all of it, and I'll let you know. But right now, I'm finding a very disappointing series. And that, you know, which is, guess what, disappointing. All right, well, I think that is it for right now. I hope to get this out into the world. I can't, sooner rather than later. I can't remember now when I posted my last episode. I think it was sort of maybe Thursday-ish. Anyway, who knows? Maybe I will at least have the mosaic blocks quilted and we'll have something to show you. I'd like to put up, you know, I like pictures. I like to put up pictures. But, all right, so that's it for now. Happy New Year. I'll see you shortly. All right, this is an odd thing because it's like a quilt diary day 3 or 4 or 5 or ad nauseum, but I'm actually recording it after I recorded the introduction. Why? Because I deleted the original final quilt diary. Because first of all, the podcast had just gone on long enough for all of us. And there's a whole section in the last diary, maybe the one before it, about Downton Abbey. And I apologize. It was not an interesting recap, but I can't quite figure out how to get it out of there. It's organic, but boring. So I just thought, you know, and how many times in this podcast have I quoted Annie Smith that each quilt you're just practicing for the next one? And I did it in the final quilt diary. And then I talked about Will's basketball game. You guys don't need to know about Will's basketball game, which was not good, by the way. But you don't need to know it. So, if you're like me, you listen to podcasts while you're doing other things. But some of you listen to them while you're taking your walk or driving to work. And I just feel like you should not be bored to death. So, that was cut out. Sorry for other boring parts. I'll get back on my game sooner or later, one day. But, I think it's just time to say goodbye for this week. I'll try to get back on my weekly schedule. So that way, we don't have to listen to an hour and a half of me rambling on about so many different things. So happy New Year. Remember, life is short. Quilt first. I'll see you next week.